All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order at 5:34, and we will start with item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Laura, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Surely.
Thank you.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thank you. Item number two, roll call. We have Director Gerardo, Director LaPiccolo, and President Albers here. So item number three, agenda approval.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I second that.
All in favor? All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We will move on to item number four, public comments. Go ahead. And for those of you who are new here, public comment, we ask that you come up to the microphone, state your name, and then you have 3 minutes to make a public comment. And the way that it works in the boardroom is that we can't respond during public comment because it's not on the agenda, but we will, however, listen to your 3 minutes of what you have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Laura. I have two items, so maybe I'll get 6 minutes, but it's not very fast. The first item is, I have been around this town since the 40s. I know this town. We have wonderful things in this town. We had a doctor. We had a pharmacist. We had policemen living here. We had firemen living here. We had a real town. Everything moved, and we don't have anything. And we are now getting burglarized, robbed, and I don't want to see this happen in my town. I would like to see a police present living here. I'd like to see the bottom of the strip matter building that turn into a sheriff's office like it used to be, with a couple cars sitting in front, and some sheriffs living in town that know us, and we know them. And I know, happen to know, $980,000 in taxes out of our town pays for police protection, and we're not getting it. So I want to see that something is done. That is a big complaint that I have, and I think it can be done. When government gets so far away from the people, it is ineffective. When it's close to the people, they know us, we know them, these things don't happen. For instance, my son Bill's in Pacific Crest. He had a load of lumber on a trailer. He put it there at midnight behind his place. At 6 o'clock, it was gone. If a sheriff lived here, he kind of know that was going on over there. He'd know the hardware store people. He'd know these people that are getting robbed. And because they know that we aren't prepared, they coming up here now, it's going to get as bad as down below if we don't stop it. The other thing I wanted to talk about, there's another big problem in our town, and that is two groups of lawyers have decided to come after this town for handicap requirements. Handicap requirements are a good thing. I was a builder for 30 years. I know how to build for handicap requirements. We did it, and I called the county because they were after Jeff's building. And I said, if we did it by the requirements at the time, can they change the law and come after? She said, absolutely not. So there's some way these places can be grandfathered in. And the way I find out about it is the lawyer that wants to protect me sent me the information, the summons, that the other lawyers have put out. So you've got two groups of lawyers that want you to settle or pay them. Big money. So, you know, you could be putting all these people out of business. I don't know what you can do about it, but you're our governing body, and we need to stand together and fight for our town. And thank you for the time.
Thank you, Ms. Floor.
Thank you.
Good. Pretty hard to follow along there. This is Mike Troger. I'm from Mountain Hardware. My wife and I own Mountain Hardware. Mountain Hardware is 61 years old. We've owned it for 61 years. Second generation business here in Wrightwood. Longest single family owned business here in Wrightwood. We have some history. Not quite as far back as Laura, but we're getting close. I wanted to talk about what's happening with the retail theft here. What Laura alluded to. We're having significant problems here if you haven't already seen it, and we're seeing it firsthand here. Beginning earlier this year, we started realizing we're having some significant shoplifting problem in our store. Merchandise was just disappearing. We couldn't figure out where it was going. We had to lock things down, and we started figuring out it was being lifted out of our store. We started catching some of the shoplifters. You can't catch them anymore. You just realize that they're there, and they become a customer that we take incredible care of. We help that customer right out the front door. Because that's the only protection we have. There's nothing we can do. That was earlier this year. In June of this year, it escalated. We had 4:15 on Sunday morning, or 4:45. In the Sunday morning, we had a vehicle pull up in front of our business with two people in it, walk up to our front door, and break the glass out of the front door of the golf club, shattered the front glass. Came inside, took merchandise, put it in their vehicle, and took off. That one is interesting because that was our first burglary we had in a while. So the Dollar Tree down in Pinyon Hills had been robbed about 3 hours before. They had been burgled. They broke in through their back door and took a bunch of merchandise. Sheriff's deputy was down there. He was writing a report, doing his investigation, when he heard our siren or our alarm system broadcast that we had gotten broken into. So he came up here and found our facility broke into, and a number of our staff members were there by that time too. So he took a report, filled it out. We have pictures and all that kind of information. Passed that to the sheriff's department. Then in early August, we had a person come into the store, and one of our staff members talked to him and asked him if he could help him. He verbally abused our staff member, one of our male larger staff members. He actually abused him verbally. I don't need your help, and it went on and on. The staff member just walked away. That gentleman grabbed some merchandise in their store, including a battery power drill, pretty expensive items, grabbed it and ran out of our store. That was those grab and robbed you hear on the news all the time. So when he ran down out of the store, jumped into a pickup truck that was waiting in the parking lot with two other people in it. And when they took off out of our parking lot, they turned east onto Highway 2, headed down the hill. Didn't even stop out of our parking lot. And then ran right through the four-way stop. Most people said they were hitting about 50 by the time they were there. We had another person down Highway 2 that was run off the highway by that truck going down the highway so fast. This is dangerous, guys. I'm really worried about my staff. I'm worried about my customers. And I'm worried about the general public. Somebody could have been crossing that crosswalk with their child to go to the post office, and that guy blew right through. Could have come through with their car. This is a problem. This is escalating. That person in August, we notified the sheriff's department. The deputy was in Atlanta. He took the information via phone. And then we put out that information on social media. We have good pictures. We have lots of pictures. We put all that on social media. It was amazing what the tri-community came back with to us. We got a load of information on social media. You might have seen that if you were on social media. We had a lot of direct messages coming to us because people did not want the person that we were looking at, had the picture. They didn't want him to know that they were reporting, that they knew who he was, where he lived, his license plate on his car. We had relatives call. We had everything. The man had just gotten out of jail a week or so before. His family or people that called, they said, we want him back in jail. He's dangerous. But he's running around robbing from us. Along with the person, one of the persons in the car with him or in that truck was a girl with long red hair. And she was wanted by San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. They knew her right away. They want her. They haven't been able to find her. She was in that vehicle too, and another gentleman. So that was the grab and go. You know, somebody could have been in the store or coming up the store. I could have been coming up the steps, or could have been coming up the store. This guy runs out. Cause us to fall, break a hip, change our life. Can't have this kind of stuff going on in our head. Less than a week later, we had another person come into our store. We went back to the plumbing section, was back in there a long, inordinate amount of time. You can see that on cameras now. And as he went out, we could see things under his shirt. He grabbed two pressure regulators and a brass, 2-inch brass valve. And I think they take that stuff. That's brass. They're recycling brass. But they were also back in the plumbing aisle. Because I'm going to lead to that in a minute, they were accessing different tools to cut copper pipe.
Oh my God.
They were also, you saw on social media down in Mills Hardware, they were trying to steal torches. Now, torches are used to cut copper pipe or to break the joints so they can take them apart. Later, and about a week later, Grassy Hollow Visitor Center, somebody went in there and took all the piping from underneath the Visitor Center. That's ours, it's a public building. $18,000 is a repair facility or repair estimate.
Wow.
They took all that copper pipe. I think they're connected. It makes common sense. Also, a vehicle was stolen in the same area just before that. This is happening, and it escalated rate. And if you don't know it, just in the last 3 days, there's been 4 incidences within 150 feet of this building. Of break-ins, attempted break-ins, and 2 other break-ins. One break-in stole an ATM machine out of one of the businesses. That takes tools. That thing's bolted to the ground. These aren't people just grabbing toothpaste because they need toothpaste. This is a serious problem. Somebody's going to get hurt. I agree with Laura. I think we need to look at the tax dollars, tax revenues coming into this community so we can have some kind of police presence locally. Because a lot of times our officers are going, 2 officers on, one's in Lucerne Valley and one maybe taking somebody down to the detention center or down the hill. They're not here. It doesn't work. These guys know it. Yes. These break-ins this weekend, one happened Saturday night at 4 or so in the morning. The other one happened Sunday night. Ours, where they broke the glass, was 4:55 Sunday night. They know. We're the stupid ones. We're sitting here letting them do that. I bring this to the CSD for a couple of reasons. One, when the CSD was formed, I was here at the meeting. I think Ms. Pickwell was here too. BAFCO was here, and I asked that question. I go, who's our contact to the county when CSA 56, which was the other board, is gone? And the lady from the LAFCO said, it's through the community service district. So that's why I'm coming to you. I know it's not your jurisdiction, law enforcement, but maybe we should look at it. I think that's real important. I'd like to have this added to the agenda for the next meeting so this can be agendized, so we can discuss it. Maybe we can have a representative from the sheriff's, maybe from the county supervisor's office, so we can get serious and talk about this. We can't let this keep going, or we're going to lose control of our town, and yes, we will have somebody dead. I do have a gift for everybody. I have my cards. These are 3 of our thieves that were in Mount Hardware. You can just put those on your refrigerators or anything at home. You guys, thank you very much for letting me take your time. I know you let me go long. I appreciate it. I'm not used to talking in front of people.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
It'll stretch. Yeah.
Yeah,
the cord's long. Thank you. I'm Jamison Williams, and I've lived here 27 years. And
It's not working.
Yeah. Okay.
Did it come in
plan? I think I can hear it working. You might have to speak up just a little bit.
Speak up. All right.
Dottie Jansmore Williams, I've lived here 27 years, I'm a realtor, and what I'm concerned about is the parking. And by the way, what Laura and Mike talked about, this is just unacceptable, and I'm ready to help do whatever I can about that. Now, the thing I'm concerned about the parking, and I sent some photos to Tammy, is that, you know, here's this beautiful park, we all worked so hard to get, and my granddaughter loves it, it's all good. And then we went over there, and that one thing was broken, and now it's all fixed. That's great. But here's what I saw when I was over there, is these junior high boys and maybe high school boys, you know, on the swings, that handicap swing thing. Okay, this was unbelievable. One big kid was in it, another one got on top of him facing the other way, then 2 more boys were swinging it real big and wide and stuff. And then they get off, and the thing flips over on top of itself and everything. And here I'm sitting there looking at it, and I took some photos, and you got those that I sent, right, Tammy? And this is just unacceptable. And what I'm thinking is, you know, I don't know how this works, but it seems like we need to have some big signs. I remember when we did the park, we specifically areas of age and ability, that sort of thing, to have it separate, to make it safer, so the big kids weren't playing right there on the little kids and all that. And so I think it was a beautiful job. I think we need to have big signs that say, this area for this age, this weight, whatever it is.
Excuse me, Dottie, there are signs out there in each
for
section
age.
That
yeah.
do give an age
group.
Well,
maybe I haven't been there recently. But I
They've been there
the
since day one.
Oh, really? Because I didn't see them. Sorry. Apparently, they're not big enough. Because I'm thinking, if there's signs like that, I could go over and say to these guys, you know, I used to be a substitute teacher. I can, you know, use my authority and voice. But but I'd like to say, do you see that this is for this weight, and this number of people? And so, you know, we want to keep these nice. And see the signs up here that say what it is? And so I didn't feel like I had that ability to say it because I didn't see any of that.
They're there.
Mm-hmm. And so I'll have to go back and take a look when I'm ambulatory again. But I think all of us need to keep an eye out for that because, you know, the warranty is invalidated when it's abused like that. And so I would like to see us being able to have that park used appropriately by the kids for a long time to come. I think it was a great job, that park being revamped. I think, and it's really a beautiful facility now, and I'd like to see it remain that way. So maybe we need bigger signs or something, or maybe more, I don't know, visible.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dottie. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kurt Watson. I'm a resident. Thank you, Laura, for your concerns. Mike, 25% of the people here tonight happen to be from the hardware store. Go figure. So this is really where I land. We're looking at anarchy, really. Because what's happening is the degradation of our little society here is reaching new lows. Because the criminals are willing to not even take chances, because they've got their eye on what's happening here. We're not negligent, and we're not ignorant. We're just careless, in a sense. Not willingly careless. And the only form of governance we have is right here. So my question, and this has been my question for the last 8 years, where is everyone? Jill put out something on social media. Show up tonight if you want to have a voice as to what's going on in our community. I don't believe, and our charter doesn't cover law enforcement. It just doesn't. We could send out a feasibility study and decide, you know, based on criminal facts from the sheriff's department, is it feasible to add law enforcement to the community? That's a push. I know it's a push. That would be a really hard fought battle when it comes to dollars and cents. So where does the responsibility fall? It falls on us. It really does. What do we need to do? I don't know. But our law enforcement can help us with that. To be informed citizens and protect. How do we protect ourselves without carrying lethal force? Well, I happen to have a burner. Okay? You know what that is? It's just a pea shooter. But that's all it is. A pea shooter.
Yeah.
It delivers a ball that will really hurt someone, but it will not kill them, okay? But that's all I can do. And I only do that to protect my property and my home and my wife and myself. But it's really not the answer. That the answer is, in the solution has to be a bigger solution based on a really widespread concern. How do we bump the concern up? I think we have to go back to the CSD. Even though this is in the charter, this is not who you are, you're not about law enforcement, you're not about criminal fighting, you are our governance. You are only form of real. Tammy, those chairs just all fell
down. That's a later problem.
It's really the only form of governance that we do have. It's here. What do we need to do to rally support? What can the CSD do to bump up the awareness? And I love the way Mike protected those by not mentioning businesses by name. However, we kind of know who got hit. And it just continues to go. So my question, and it's more rhetorical, I guess, is, what can the CSD do to help us fight this problem?
Thank you, Craig.
What about a neighborhood watch? What about people taking turns watching?
Got to get to the mic.
You have to go over there and talk to the mic.
Hi, I'm Vicki Reinick, and
I saw on the news Brentwood had a serious problem too. What they did was hire a security company that patrolled the streets, an armed security company. Our sheriffs are so understaffed, no one wants to be a sheriff. That's the real reason why we don't have any up here. The staff, they have to cover this massive acreage up here. The CSD could go to the county supervisor and petition some money for a private security agency. They would come up here from midnight until 6 a.m. just patrol the business area. Again, that could be on the agenda. We could find out what it costs to have a private security, but I think the CSD could do something like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you. Any other? Yeah. Get closer.
Get closer.
Louder.
Just talk. I should talk loud. Okay, I have a new microphone. But anyway, my name is Lynn Campbell. I'm also a resident of Wrightwood, and I agree with everything that's been said about my concern is the safety of our town. And, you know, I'm a nurse. With diseases, you have to basically, like Marty Fife said, nip it in the bud. You have to give antibiotics or medicine to stop the progress of a disease. I think we really need to put our foot down and get some security up here. Now, I don't know, I don't come to these meetings, I keep forgetting and I want to. I don't know where, I know we're taxpayers. Mm-hmm. The tax, our money's going somewhere, and a few weeks ago, there's been a couple of parties at some of these, what do you call those, bed and breakfasts, and one went on till 4 a.m. I called the sheriff several times, we'll be there, they never came. I feel that we pay our taxes and we should have law enforcement protection, and there's no excuse. We're paying for something we're not getting. Right. And okay, I respect the sheriff. I get it. I wouldn't probably want to be a sheriff either. But I think it's time our town looks for another alternative. I drive on the freeways a lot. I see lots of private patrol cars driving, going from I don't know what one location to the other. So I'm guessing, with the last, like the last speaker said, maybe the CSD can talk to the Board of Supervisors. I don't know how government really works, but we pay money. I don't want it to be an extra tax on us. We already pay money, and we're not getting the security that we should have. For I don't care the reason. That's not my problem. That's not your problem. That's the government's problem, right? So they need to do, I feel they need to do something. They're responsible for this, and I very strongly agree. We cannot let this happen. It's going to be like a big infection. It'll take over. Our town will be known for being vulnerable and weak.
Right.
And I live close to Highway 2. In the morning, I hear a car sometimes racing down toward 138. And I don't know if they did a robbery. I think maybe they're going to work and having fun on an empty highway. But that's dangerous, too, because I used to work nights and come back and forth at all hours of the day, and that person could hit someone. So I think we need someone, maybe two. I would vote for two cars, you know, two patrol people. One for the stores that's visible, and someone patrolling for the highways. I mean, that's my wish list. And that involves CHP, I understand. I don't know. When I've called them before, they have like a couple people for all the way to Palm Springs, so there's no way they can be up here if we need them. So I just want to loudly voice my two cents on that, because I feel that's very important for us. We can't let this get out of control. We'll have a reputation. We already have a reputation for being weak. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments tonight before we close the comment section? All right. Moving on to item number 5, agency report.
All right, good evening. I don't know if you can hear me. I will do my best to unpack what you talked about. Some of it I have to be careful because I can't, while on duty, delve into political things. So if you kind of get my drift.
Yeah.
Okay. Come this November, there will be a ballot initiative that will hopefully address some of what you just talked about. So some of what has been created historically is Prop 42 got passed. And that decriminalized a lot of things. I'll have to leave it at that. But the crooks are what's taking advantage of that. So our district attorney, our sheriff, along with, I believe it was Assemblyman Ramos, has come up with Prop 36. Please research that. Look at it. If you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote, because it's attempting to correct these things, like with the hardware stores and that, where it's used to be, if it was petty theft with a prior, it was automatically a felony. And if it was prior theft, it had to be only $400. Then it went up to $900. All that's out. Though it actually said there was a calculator and calculated out. So look at the propositions, please. Inform your neighbors about the propositions. So hopefully I kept that generically neutral. But that's one thing, number one. The party. If you give me the address, I'll research that and I'll get back with you. The biggest problem with these parties, we can't do a thing about them if we don't have a citizen sign a complaint. We're not allowed to be a victim of loud noise. Same with when we work at the river, we're not allowed to be a victim of nudity at the river when we work there. So if you're going to call in the call, we need the question answered, yes, I will sign a citizen complaint. What helps us with that is you just turn a tape recorder on your phone or whatever, when you're in your house, that we can hear it, because that's substantiated to the district attorney. Also, if it's an Airbnb, make sure you contact county code enforcement.
I did.
Okay, good. Because I just had a meeting with them also about Airbnbs and that. And they say they will follow up on that. But continue to do that. So hopefully that helps with that. Staffing, and Ms. Laura and I were just talking about, staffing right now is the problem. Not just us, but CHP. So these are generic numbers. So the Victor Valley Station that I'm commander of is LA County Line to Pass Lucerne, Wrightwood to Hodge Road, 1,403 square miles. My county operation splits the freeway east and west. Phelan, Wrightwood, is out of the Phelan station. I run one deputy per shift. Okay. County station, two deputies. Lucerne, one deputy. So basically, I run four deputies for 1,370 square miles. The city of Adelanto, which is extremely underfunded, they got the same number of deputies today as they had in 2003 when they incorporated. They had 18,000 people. Now they have 38,000 people. They run three deputies per shift and that. So that's the staffing. And you're talking about CHP. CHP runs two on the freeway, one on the east side, one on the west side. Part of the problem is I have nine vacancies. So if anybody wants to be a cop, I'm hiring. The department as a whole is short over 400. Our corrections division in our county, we only have three jails. We just closed one. Our corrections division alone is short 114 deputies. So as some of the people are saying, honestly, nobody wants to be a cop because they take it on the chin because they can't do, they don't do, they won't do. What other family factors? I just had seven a couple months ago, got out of the academy, came to my station. One quit after going through the entire academy. He quit on his field training. Two others went back to the jail immediately. I didn't get a replacement for those two. Three more wanted to go back to the jail, but the department made a department policy, which I don't make policy, I just have to enforce it, and refused to let them go back to the jail. It's kind of like if your son or daughter doesn't want to make their bed. You got to find a penalty to make them make the bed. So we did not roll them back to the jail, and they're actually doing phenomenal. We're making them step up. But that's the thing between the union and the department. So that's one of our biggest problems. If we were full staffed, Phelan would have two deputies at all times. Now, part of Phelan's problem is they go all the way to Palmdale and then I-15 to LA County, including you guys up here. If they were fully staffed, we would have two on at all times, and that would help us tremendously. So when the market got hit, that deputy, part of his area, he ended up having to go to Highway 138 and Summit Valley Road. Responded from there. 2 weeks ago, we have a deputy at 138 and I-15, and he gets a medical aid in Hillendale. I'll be in route 59-minute response time. Wow. And that, because of staffing. 100% staffing. Like I've said, I live in Victorville. I'm up here every Sunday at the Grizz having breakfast because I like coming up here. I'm a mountain boy from Big Bear in the day. But That's what we put up with on staffing. The idea of security patrols. You brought up Brentwood. Perfect example. Okay, you got 5,000 people here in the city, roughly. Even if I put two deputies, that's two for 5,000 and that. You'll never have enough officers to provide security. That's not the response for law enforcement. Law enforcement is to make arrests if we can. So like the recent incident, we have some video. One thing you got to remember, video gives a picture, but the evidence behind it does not always. I'm trying not to give up the investigation as I know it. We do have some good video from the incidents this weekend, but what we found in the video is not going to really lead us to that part. We're hoping Tesla can give us some information on what happened to that. Mm-hmm. So you may see something, but it may not be actually the truth, if I can say that. I'm trying to be political on that too. But biggest thing is, you see something, say it, call it, put in the calls, because then that gives me the ammunition to go back to the sheriff and say, Wrightwood has this many calls, Phelan has this many calls, and I can get back. CSD in Hellendale was looking into it. Two deputies to be assigned, per se, say you wanted two deputies assigned here, is roughly $250,000 to have them assigned, as if, say, you're a city. I have that with Geo.
We have that money.
Pardon me?
We have four times that money coming out of this town.
You could. I don't deal with the budgets on that.
Okay.
And we're also talking about budgets. The sheriff's department, you know, we get all the money from the county, and then sheriff and B of A breaks that all up. Our budgeted overtime for the entire sheriff's department, not counting the cities, Victorville, Adelanto, things like that, is $8 million per year. So I'm allocated 80 hours per 2 weeks in overtime for my station, for all of my operation other than Adelanto. Last year, the county spent $40 million on overtime because of all the shortages and things like that, which is, when you're talking about dollars, it could have been for, you know, $8 million if we stayed in budget, but because of the other things, part of that also is now we're keeping our mobile field force, which is our rapid response team, that if there's an emergency locally and I can't handle it, then I ask for a tactical from the region and the high desert response. So like if you got a fire up here, I would pull from the region, send them up here. If it's beyond those resources, I ask for the mobile field force, and within an hour I can have 30 extra deputies in that response. That's how that works. But now they are putting them on call. Before, they never put them on call. So we could have 30 deputies. Hey, you're on mobile field force this week. But if they're not on call, they have no other duty to respond. They can sit by the pool and they can have a drink. They can go down the hill and go shopping, whatever they want to do. Now we're putting them on call, which, of course, that's an expense on the labor cost. So all I can say is please put in the calls. If you have the disturbances, we need a victim. We need someone to say, I will sign. Just sign. Get a recording so we can take that to the DA. Once we file the case, now it's up to the district attorney and the courts. That's not within our preview. That's something that the district attorney, with the district attorney or anybody else, squeaky wheel, and I'm not opposed to what you're saying, I'll take this back. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. The district attorney needs to know that you're willing to be a victim, that you're willing to go forward and things like that. CHP, and like I said, CHP, I talk to that captain routinely because I have to help him a lot of times with some major investigations because he doesn't have everybody to sit on. We had the fire last week down in Phelan, and he pulled both his Rover deputy patrol officers, not the two on the 15, but the two from east and west, pulled them off to do road containment for the fire that we had last week. So now there was nobody in Lucerne and nobody out here doing traffic enforcement and that. He is short several, in their agency, a couple thousand CHP officers. Nobody wants to be an officer. And to give you some perspective, CHP just signed a new contract with the state for $489 million to give the officers pay raises. They're making $117,000 a year and they can't get anybody to take the job. A beginning deputy makes $70,000 a year and we can't get anybody to take the job. You know, or I lost two deputies earlier this year because they went to El Segundo PD, who paid a little bit more than us, but they got a $50,000 signing bonus.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, $10,000 a year bonus for 5 years for sticking around.
Oh, wow.
I can't compete with that. You know, things like that. So we understand it. Believe me, we understand it. We do have potentially some follow-up investigation that's going to happen in the next couple days. But our biggest problem is eyes and ears. And Brentwood is a prime example. That one house got hit twice in a night.
Oh, my God.
You know, the same mansion got hit twice in a night. The burglars don't care. I know in my house what I have to make sure they don't leave. You all have that right under the Constitution that if you feel afraid for your life, to make sure they don't leave. Just saying. You know, ladies, we have a great class at the academy called Lady Beware, where we teach you how to shoot firearms. Go to the sheriff's website. It's in there, Lady Beware. It's a phenomenal class for ladies on how to shoot different weapons. First thing taught my sister was a shotgun. You know, if a guy comes at a woman, she's got a shotgun, he's more than stupid.
Yeah.
So we have that, but also other ways of defending and de-escalating and things like that. Call us. We will get there.
Can we have this brought up here?
What's that?
Any of these classes, any of these things?
I don't know, because that's out of the academy. If we were to have a big enough group, we probably could petition them. The biggest problem is they actually take you out on the range to shoot the weapons. So it could be something as small as a 38 and as big as a shotgun. So we would need an adequate range that they could do it. And our academy is right at the base of the hill.
Yeah.
Right behind Blockbuster. What do they call now? Blockbuster? I don't know what they call it. It keeps changing. Behind the pavilion there is the academy. And they have a wait list because so many ladies are getting personal protection and that. And it's a great program. Everyone that goes through it loves it and that. But call. And a lot. How many of you know Sergeant Rios? He comes up here.
He comes here almost every meeting.
Yeah, he usually comes up, and I'll try to get up here. He's in England, by the way, so that's why he's not here tonight. He took a vacation finally. I am taking him away from you, though. I'm making my administrative sergeant. Trying to get him promoted.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other bad part is try to get my guys promoted. My last lieutenant made captain, so I'm doing pretty good. But call us. We're trying. It's not that we don't want to be up here. If we have an emergency, a gentleman was there telling me he's on the LA County line. What if there's an active shooter? Well, his law enforcement jurisdiction is from Palmdale. And that's the reality. Good thing is, hope to God Palmdale calls us, we'll automatically respond. And that. And like we said, if he calls the 956-5001 number, it's our dispatch. They'll give us an info call, transfer to LA County. We'll show up for something like that because it's an active shooter. But if it's they had a burglary on the LA County line, LA's called us a couple times, want us to take their burglary reports. Not doing that. We'll do the life-saving stuff and things like that. So please keep putting in the calls. Let us know. Get on Twitter. I just tweeted about the fire that they just had this afternoon. The fire is out. So that's good. The one over in Ice House Canyon, they did get it out. They jumped on that real quick. But follow us on there, too. Because I have an account on there. They made me get one. So you can put stuff on there. I look at that all the time. And Victor Valley Station has a Twitter account. Put on there. On a good note, and I think they brought it up a couple meetings ago, after Snowmageddon last year, we did not have the equipment we needed on this side of the mountain. In the Sheriff's Department, when I left Big Bear Station as a sergeant, we had an old, used, donated snowcat to Big Bear, and that's been 15 years ago plus. That's it. We have one for the entire mountain. Because of Snowmageddon, County Supervisor stepped up. Twin Peaks last February got a brand new snowcat. So IGM, I get mine. So I complained. We just went into production of ours.
Nice.
And it will be here. So cool. Wintertime, fire station or public works, wherever we can squeeze it. Summertime, we'll take it back down to the main, but we'll actually have a snowcat that we can get off in the highways. We can get back to your camp, things like that, and be able to serve this area better. And so if I know about it and I can fight, the biggest problem for me in the department, I got 33 years on. I don't care. I'll argue, you know, with the department. I'll argue with people. But if it's going to help you or help the deputies, I'll argue for that because I have nothing to lose. You know, I make more money sitting at home. I can retire, but I'd rather do this, and I'd rather teach my deputies the profession. And that's the biggest problem. these new generation, this younger generation, they don't understand anything about the profession. Whether it's a job at your store, your camp, whatever it is, they just give up. So if you could, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephew, get a little rough on them. My dad never gave me that. I didn't need. You know, don't let them give up. Don't let them quit. Don't give them a hug every time they, you know, do something. Don't put something on the damn refrigerator for them because they got out of bed and made it. Make them step. I see a lot of people looking like me in here. You know what I'm talking about. My dad was Irish German. He didn't let me get away with nothing. And this, for me, is my second career. I did retire from Staters before I came over to this job and that. So if you know anybody that can get over a six-foot wall, a six-foot fence, a 150-pound dummy drag, I got a job for them. Male, female, I don't care. As long as they can get over those things, we got a job for them. We're hiring constantly. So, and we have other jobs too, besides just the deputies. We have civilian staff openings also. Yes, sir.
I had a question. This was something that I saw a while back.
I thought you were going to apply.
About volunteer deputy. Is that something?
It's a reserve deputy. That's actually how I started in the department. I was assistant manager and store manager of Stater Brothers in Big Bear. And my parents taught me to give back to my community. So I volunteered as a deputy sheriff. In the old days, it was really easy. It was a 40-hour, 120 hours, and you're a full deputy sheriff. That was back in the 80s. And that I got sworn in March 15, 1982 in this department. Now, to become a volunteer deputy, a reserve, it's a full academy, but as a college student. They have it down, Victor Valley College puts it on. I lecture in that campus also for it. But you're going to go through the same number of hours if you're going to go full-time. Wow. So you can volunteer and take a long time, or you can just bite the bullet, quit your job, come over to us, and get hired on. So you got great retirement, great benefits. Got me.
We had a citizen's patrol. We used to have one. What did they have to do to do that?
Your citizen patrol. If you guys want to form a citizen patrol.
They had a little car and everything.
Yep. If you guys want to form a citizen patrol, my public information officer, Stacy Buchanan, would be happy to get the classes set up. You got to go through a whole series of classes. You have to go down the academy, and they got to put you through a driving school. Hellendale, they donated a car. I have had three. The one gentleman just passed away. But they have two local citizens, and they have a car out there. They go around on their days off. It's, you know, better than a golf cart. And they drive around, and they see things, and they call us up. There's nothing wrong with it. But that's one of those things that's kind of a dying breed, too, that you've got to get through the training. You don't take law enforcement action. You're just good witnesses. Yep. But they're volunteers. They want to get involved in the community. We'd be happy to set it up. Someone asked about Neighborhood Watch. We have still the Neighborhood Watch programs. We need a watch captain. We have to have meetings, training and liability, things like that, signs up. But those programs, too. Again, Stacy Buchanan, just call the our main station. 552-6800. I never call the main number.
6800?
It's Stacy Buchanan. She actually lives right down in Cleveland, so it would be easy for her to get up here and stuff. But we've got both those classes that we were willing. We could do it here in the community center. If we have enough people that have put it on, we'd be happy to do that because it's eyes and ears. And we were talking, and Ms. Laura and I were talking earlier about deputies living here and things like that. Way back in the 80s, it was a requirement we had to live in the jurisdiction that we served.
Good idea.
Which, unfortunately, is 1,400 square miles, so they could live anywhere.
Great idea.
But a lot of times, deputies don't want anyone knowing they're cops.
Exactly.
They just don't want people knowing because it puts their lives in danger. Our significant others, we give them code words because we're out in public and someone sees us. And they know that if we say a certain word, they walk away, they dial 911. That's the reality law enforcement faces nowadays. I was talking about going to Big Bear. I was just in Big Bear a couple weeks ago for dinner, and I passed a gentleman in the Christmas store, and he's looking at me like he knows me, and I'm like, don't know. I'm 64. I have no idea who the hell that is. Turned out to be a 17-year-old. He used to beat the snot out of when he was a teenager and I was a deputy. He thanked me. He got out of prison, changed his life, retired, has grandkids. But we just never know who we're going to run in off-duty and that. We do have some deputies that live here. I do know a couple that do actually live here in this area and that. But when they're off duty, they're not allowed to engage because now they put themselves on duty. They usually don't have all their equipment, and they don't do it. But I do agree with you, and that's why I was telling them, I want to know when the Christmas parade is so I can be in the Christmas parade again this year. Because we need to be at that. If you guys have the car shows, if Stacy knows in advance, I'm local. I have no problem coming up here and looking stupid and getting in a parade or go to a car show and stuff like that. I have no problem engaging my communities in that. So if I know and they can put it on my calendar and I at least get a couple days off a week or an evening, I'm happy with that. But just let us know. I'll do everything I can. Staffing, that's the thing. You know, tonight there's one deputy on covering Palmdale to here, I-15 to LA County and that. So when he calls for a backup, it's usually out of Adelanto or sometimes from Lucerne Valley. We know it's not going to be CHP and we know it's not going to be LA Sheriff's Department. There's just no way that they're going to be able to assist us. Yes, ma'am.
So I have a question. Again, I'm sorry if I'm allowed or not allowed to ask this, but I have a
in this session, you can ask me questions.
Okay, yeah.
It's not a Brown Act violation.
What I want to know is, I've been up here for 20 years. I've been, there's been a couple of evacuations. I remember law enforcement, I think, patrolled the streets and mm-hmm. told you, get out now, you know.
Yes.
So you only have one deputy or something, so what's our alternative? Are we going to have someone waking us up at night?
Yes.
I mean,
so again, that goes back to
a lot of streets.
Right. That's what it goes back to. When there is that kind of an emergency, the watch commander has the ability to immediately ask for a tactical of all the stations.
Okay.
He doesn't have to wake me up. That's an automatic authorization for the watch commander that's on duty. If it's going to look like it goes beyond that, he wakes up the lieutenant, who wakes me up, and I then make the decision. I wake the deputy chief up, and I call for mobile field force.
Okay.
Their response time is 1 hour. So in the meantime, you'll have half of Victorville, half of Apple Valley, half of Hesperia, half of Barstow. They all will be sent up here immediately. The patrol cars all now have what's called a high-low system. And if you go look on the website, you can see how that works. It actually is a pre-recorded message in English and Spanish, and they just start driving up down the streets advising you. It should be loud enough that you should be able to hear it in your house. That's the operational plan, is to run through with a high-low. But you won't be stuck with the one deputy. You won't be stuck with the four that I have on. We do what's called the tactical.
Okay.
We pull half the command from the entire desert. So you would end up with probably 25 deputies up here
and
within a short amount of time.
You mentioned Twitter. Is that another alternative?
That's just something we do to keep us informed. So I have the Fire Safety Council. I do that. I think you guys have a Twitter account, but I have trouble finding it, don't you?
We do not.
Oh, that's why I can't find it.
It's Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, I do the Fire Safety Council. I always send the messages to Fire Safety Council. So if you're on their Twitter account, you're going to get my messages.
Okay.
And if you're on the Victor Valley account, myself, Victor Valley, and Sheriff's Headquarters, we're all interlinked. So if something goes out on the Sheriff's main account, any of our other station accounts, it all goes on there. I usually send it to CHP, so they're aware of it. County Fire, Cal Fire, National Service Fire. So as soon as I see smoke, I automatically send it to Fire Safety Council up here. Because I want you guys to know that we know about it and that. So like the fire last week, I actually from my house saw the fire breaking out up here before my watch commander knew about it. And so I called the lieutenant and called the watch commander, then started sending deputies over here. So it's not you're going to have one deputy. If it's an emergency, we're going to pull the deputies and that. You're going to have it.
Thank you.
It's just general patrol is not the best right now.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
In reference to her question,
yes, and you have classes the 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Yes, and I do understand that if we do have an emergency, that CERT is activated, depending on the level.
Yes.
And we work in conjunction with the other authorities, fire,
yeah.
Sheriff, police.
CERT is a community-based group.
Yes.
And it's phenomenal first responders
so
and things like that.
You're not alone.
Yeah. And that's one of those things to volunteer your time is to get involved with the CERT. And I just saw it on the sign. It's, I think, 12, 13, and 14. You're having the classes up
yes,
here.
Correct.
And it teaches you basic evacuation, basic first aid, things like that. That's a great way to... Because honestly, if you have an emergency, you're not the only one. If it's a big earthquake, because, you know, the San Andreas Fault goes right through this area. If you have the San Andreas Fault break loose, everyone's going to have the emergency. It's going to be all of our assets are going to be divided among everybody. So, like when you guys had Snowmageddon, originally we were not, the CHP and myself in this area was not part of the Snowmageddon daily briefings. For some reason, someone didn't think that we had snow on this side of the county. So we inserted ourselves into it, and then we started coming up here, and then I actually came up here a day before we released the area to allow the tourists and people to come back up. I actually was up here driving around before that. CHP was up here because we wanted to make sure it was safe to open the roads and things like that. So we're here, we're around. You just thought I was good. You see a dark dog Durango with blacked out windows, that's me. It's not a under, you know, some crook, it's just me. But we're up here, and we will be up here with an emergency. There's an emergency and then general practice, things like that. The active shooter versus a burglary. We're gonna be up here. It's just, we have to have the data that I can keep arguing that I need more than what I did. If I get the 9 deputies, I can split the county beat. I can have extra one in Lucerne, extra one in CST, or Lucerne and one up here. If I can get the 9 deputies filled and they don't quit. And so again, sons, daughters, relatives, nieces, nephew, we're looking, we're hiring, please, please. But again, you can always reach out to the station. You can always send me an email. Email's easy, it's klutz@sbcsd.org. I answer my email. Sometimes I'll wait and save it till in the morning. But it's klutz@sbcsd.org. So you can always send me an email. It goes to my phones, one of them, and I will respond back. But sometimes that won't be till the next day, or depending on what I'm doing, it may be if I'm on vacation and that. But I'll send it to someone that can handle it immediately if it needs to be handled immediately. So if you reach out to us, we got all kinds of communication. Just reach out. And I'll do my best. And I'll, like this, this meeting we have tonight, I'll do an email to my chief and I'll let him know that I was up here and this is the concerns of the area. Because it doesn't do any good if you tell me and I don't tell anybody else.
Okay. So that's enough.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. Any other questions I can answer?
No, thanks.
No?
No, thank you, Commander. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right. So that was agency report. So for those of you who are not usually coming to these meetings, we're going to get on with the rest of our agenda now, which is just general CSD business. You're welcome to stay if you would like to stay, or you can leave if you want to leave if you just came to speak with the Sheriff's Department. So it's totally up to you guys, but we will not be offended. We are just going with normal business.
A little minute, that's something you can get some more questions. I got a few of them.
You throw one this way, please.
Whoops. Tammy
wants one. She's a little
needy. I'm like, oh no. Miss Kim calls me all the time.
Thanks again so
and
much.
And I respond all the time.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Very informative. Yeah, I've talked on the phone with him a couple times. Yeah. With Snowplay when we've had it.
Really?
So he's super early.
Yeah, he's very informative.
All right. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming. This is our normal crowd here. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, all right, so we will continue going. Item number 6, consent calendar.
Yeah, I looked these over and they looked fine to me, so I don't know if you guys have any questions, but if you're okay with it, I will make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item number 7, general manager's report.
All right. The grant funds for the outdoor bathroom renovations have arrived and have been deposited into an interest-bearing savings account. Funds will be transferred to checking as needed to pay any bills or subcontractors. I've had a few meetings with an architect and a few engineers to figure out a solution for our septic issue and how to specifically meet our needs. The topo should be completed any day, and once that is finished, we should be able to start getting bids for the renovations. I received an email from CJ Porter with Supervisor Cook's office asking if I'd be interested in attending an informal monthly CSD/MAC meeting. It's designed for general managers and or board members along with other CSDs in the area to collaborate and share ideas and accomplishments with other districts. Our first meeting will be on September 18th, and I do plan on attending. Due to the numerous complaints and issues with CRNR, Angela and I plan on having a monthly meeting with Brandon McGill, the general manager for CRNR. We'll be working with Brandon to better educate the community on trash, recycling, and green waste protocols, along with the free services offered by CRNR. Educational flyers will be added to the quarterly billings, as well as our website and social media, and we're hopeful that this will help alleviate some of our future issues with CRNR. Summer softball season has come to an end with the Master Batters winning the championship. Fall ball registration is open with 12 teams already.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and I guess it closed yesterday. Sorry. Didn't realize. Fall ball season will begin Sunday, September 8th. New umpire David has been added to has been hired to replace Hazel, who recently resigned from the position. Adult dance fitness classes will return this fall, beginning Monday nights, September 14th, from 6 to 7 in the community building. Thanks to Nancy Kupka, we found a dance instructor willing to teach adult ballet and or different styles of dance, such as salsa and hula. We're very excited to be able to add this to our Park and Rec program. The details are still being worked out and will be posted on our website and social media once a schedule has been set. The Mommy and Me class was a success, but after speaking with moms, most of them would prefer if the class were held during the week instead of on Sunday morning. So Cameron is working on a schedule to fulfill their request, and we'll post a new schedule on our website and social media pages. The children's creative movement and ballet classes are scheduled to resume October 9th, with the recital being December 7th. Also in the works is an etiquette workshop with separate classes for children's and teens/adults. Yes. The children's class will teach how to properly set a table, shake hands, make eye contact. And then the teen adult class will focus kind of more on preparing for a job interview and other social skills. This month's senior, we're still working on a date for that also. And this month's senior lunch will be on Wednesday, September 11th from 11 to 1. And the theme is Wife Appreciation Day, with a menu consisting, and I guess it's not spaghetti and meatballs, it's something a little bit different. Some Italian, and it sounds delicious. Anyway, an Italian yummy meal with garlic bread salad and a dessert of chocolate or strawberry cheesecake made by our amazing group of volunteers. Coffee, tea, lemonade, and water will also be served. So bring your wife and show her how much you appreciate her by spending the afternoon and sharing a delicious lunch with her. And don't forget about our Fitness in the Forest, sponsored by our Lions Club, which offers chair yoga or a group walk along the trail every Monday, except holidays, at 10 a.m. in the community building. Chair massages are also available free of charge. Mark your calendars for the Household Hazardous Waste Drop-Off on September 28th from 9 to 1, located at the county yard off of Highway 2. Also, if you're interested in some great entertainment, the Senior Follies, directed by Laura Steinman and hosted by the WCSD, will be performing the evening of September 28th and 29th. So please come join us for an evening of laughter and fun. And that's all.
Very good. Awesome.
Any questions?
Yeah, I had good job on all the Parks and Rec stuff. That's really a large number of activities, so thank you for that. And I really do like the etiquette classes. I think that's great.
One thing I did forget to mention is our Parks and Rec has taken over Snowline Players also.
Oh, wow.
Laura will be still directing as long as she can. And we were just going to kind of help her out with administration and costs.
Great.
And wow. All that good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's another.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys have a lot going on, so thank you for thinking of those. Those are really unique ideas, too, that I, you know, wouldn't have thought of. So thank you for doing that. And then I had a question on your first about the grant funds and whatnot. That's great that it's in our bank. As time goes on with this, and you start to get, like, the topo, like you said here, and start to kind of come up with ideas and bids and whatnot, are we going to start to add it to the agenda, like, as a regular item so we can talk about it? Okay.
Yes, I have the topo and the architect are the first main things, and then we'll tweak from there.
Great.
I gave them a general idea, and then I would absolutely want to involve the board.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
Once that, as soon as I get the topo, it'll be here.
Great.
I haven't seen it.
Perfect.
Anything.
And then how much did they send you? Was it 324?
It was
I think it was like $324,500.
Yes.
They sent you the full amount?
They did.
Okay. Great. Okay. Those were my questions. So thank you for that and good job.
Yeah. Christy, anything?
No questions for me.
Great. Moving on to item number 8, July 2024 financials. Discussion, possible action.
Yeah, I don't have any comments. I looked them over.
Yeah.
I thought they were fine. I don't have any comments.
Nothing stood out to me. I don't think any action is needed. I ask that every time. So we will move on to item number 9, vision plan, discussion, possible action.
Okay, so I'll take this one. Angela and I met to discuss the strategic plan, and Angela did a bunch of work trying to kind of do some background. So basically what we discussed is that information was gathered in the meetings from the last year of what the community wanted. Like, I guess I'll just read this update first. Last November, 3 community forums were conducted to collect input from stakeholders about the future vision of Wrightwood. 36 participants contributed their ideas. Before proceeding to the next phase, the board needs to determine whether the strategic plan will be created by Wrightwood CSD staff and board committee or by a professional consulting firm. Hiring a professional firm is considered the top-tier option for strategic planning as they play a crucial role in shaping an organization's direction. Initial estimates for creating a strategic plan range from $20,000 to $40,000. Alternatively, there is a potential hybrid approach where staff and board members collaborate with a consultant and create a strategic plan under their guidance. This option would reduce the cost significantly. The following is an informal proposal for strategic planning services by BHI Management Consulting. BHI has worked with many special districts in the state, including Phelan Pinyon Hills, Quartz Hill Water District, and Big Bear Airport. So what we included in the packet here, basically what we talked about was we can do this in-house. Angela looked up some options on, you know, creating kind of a staff outline. So basically you're working from your vision and your mission statement, which we do have a vision and a mission statement that we adopted in the beginning of the CSD. And so we can work on that as a guideline and start to integrate all of the, you know, input that we got from the community into some type of structure and continue on with some more community meetings, because we feel like we need to do some more outreach. Just 36 participants is great, but we feel like we want to try and reach even more people by getting, you know, some polling done online and some other outreach type activities. And so if we do that and we do that as staff, we would just continue on kind of as we did and create like an outline and try and basically model it off of other types that we've seen online. But what we've included here with a professional vision and strategic plan is what other districts like Phelan Pinyon Hills and other CSDs, I think, Angela, correct me, you said he's worked with like hundreds of small districts of this type of plan. So we looked, the first one right here is, or not the first one, but the Phelan Pinyon Hills one that's included in here is something that really caught my eye because it's similar to our community, although we have different, you know, functions than Phelan Pinyon Hills. I thought it was a really well done piece. So what Angela had talked to this consultant about was the hybrid version. So if you look at his letter, she kind of talked to him quickly about what our goals were, and he outlined the process, which would be the first number one would be the input stage, which is you're preparing the board and director, or in preparation for a board of directors planning workshop, we would collect information that the district has already collected. So we have some of that, meet with each board member individually, meet with staff. These would be done on Zoom or could be done in person if we'd like, and prepare for a workshop. Second thing, we would conduct 4 to 5 hour board of director planning workshops. This would be done with him coming to the district on a mutually agreeable date and time. This, the outcome and deliverables for the workshop is a collective mission statement and vision for the district, as well as review and assurance that all areas of need within the 5 years are covered. So he suggested that a 5-year planning horizon is the norm, but we can go longer if we'd like as a board. And then he would help us write the strategic plan draft, and he'd work with our staff, and a document would be developed for the board, and then eventually we could work to approve it. So this hybrid model, he gave us a rough estimate of about $10,000 to do that collection and get it into, you know, a professional form. And Angela and I talked about it, and we felt, you know, it might be beneficial to us to have something professional looking, because we could use it to apply for grants and we could use it for a lot of different things that we'd like to do in the future if we have it done professionally. So that's what you have in front of you, and I can answer any questions. And Angela did most of this work looking into it, so she knows a lot about it. So
the 20 or 40s, if they were pretty much do all of it, and the 10 is if we worked closely with them, and that's in here because you guys thought after doing your research that that's probably the best bet in doing that?
Because of our budget, you know, we don't really want to spend that much, and we are a smaller district, and we've done some of this data collection already, so we thought we have a pretty good idea of the main parts, but we would still want to gather more, you know, as time goes on. And I think we could continue concurrently with our data collection, even if we, you know, decided to go this route, we could continue, you know, doing the work and putting out polls and things like that and collecting the data, and that might reduce the price overall, right?
Yeah, you said that most of the cost is incurred because they typically would send out like a team on multiple occasions to run these workshops and like assess community input. But I think that's where like the hybrid situation would come in. It would be like them guiding us on how to conduct that process, what would be like beneficial for our community, like guiding us through that, but then we execute it and then tap in with them on Zoom to kind of like make sure we're getting all the major points and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So if you go to Phelan's, I think that's the second one here. It's just professional looking. It's got pictures of the district, projects that they've done, descriptions, analysis of each of the, you know, functions that they're doing and what they're trying to do with them in the future. And so we are smaller, you know, they do have water, you know, water infrastructure, and so they have a much larger budget than us, so theirs obviously is more meaty than ours probably would be. So
I think this is great. This is everything that I was hoping for from the get-go. Mm-hmm. I believe we actually had this on the agenda like a year ago, and the board voted it down to do it professionally. But mm-hmm. even in those meetings with the community, that was one of the main things that they wanted, was mm-hmm. to see what we're doing and to see where the money is going. And so I think it's a worthwhile investment, and $10,000 is a steal for something that will lead us into the right direction in the future. We have the money. It will help us apply for grants and other things and keep the board on track in the future. I think it's a critical component of our success as a board. So I am in favor of doing that 100%. So thank you for doing the back work there.
One other thing just really quick to consider is, even if we decided to do it as like committee and staff and create it here, we would still ultimately, my recommendation would be to pay a design company to take our stuff and make it beautiful. So that would be an additional cost.
Plus our staff time that we'd be paying for our staff to put it together, which I'm confident that you could, but it's a lot of work. And so, I agree with you. And I think just after looking at it, I think he's got a very intimate knowledge of CSD because he's worked with CSD, and I think he can really show us things that we don't even quite understand about where we're looking for or towards going long run that maybe we don't understand as a board quite yet because they've been doing it a long time. So, we were just looking for direction, I guess. We probably cannot approve really like a formalized anything right now because this isn't really like a formal quote. And so we'd probably maybe looking for your direction right now on whether you think we should go forward with pursuing this quotation, and then maybe we can bring it back to our next.
I can find others too if you're interested. I can. That was just one company. I could contact other companies and see what they would do too.
Mm-hmm. And with our bidding, because this is only $10,000, we don't have to put it out to bid.
$30,000 is the threshold, 25. Right?
25?
Mr. Kennedy, for if we're looking for a company to do a strategic plan for us, if we put it out to bid, what's the threshold?
Anything that is not construction related, you're obligated to go out to bid. So professional services of this nature are not required statutorily to go to bid. Now you do have your own policy about purchases over a certain limits and how many quotes you want. And what the process is internally, but that's strictly policy, board policy, that of course the board can change. But statutorily, under the public contracts code, the $25,000 limit applies to construction contracts and construction supplies.
Okay, thank you. I was just thinking since, you know, probably don't want to have to wait that long because we kind of want to keep the process going. Is this something, can we approve just something to get this moving at this point and continue working on it? Or do we have to see this in October?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah. Well, you and the board.
Please. As far as I'm concerned, you can do whatever you want. This is really, it's agendized for possible action. So if there's some action that the board wants to take, you're perfectly, you've got the discretion to do that if that's your choice.
Okay, so what his proposal is here is not, this scope outlined is not, it's a not to exceed 10,000. So we could either give Angela the direction to go to other companies and then bring it back next month if you'd like, or we could maybe approve this and under the not to exceed 10,000 and try and move forward on it.
I'm comfortable with the not to exceed because I did look into all of this, like I said, a year ago, and this is a very fair price, and we did do the work. I think the hybrid approach is appropriate, and I think it's worth, again, the money just to have something professional and concrete. And so I would like to make a motion to, how do I phrase it, Mr. Kennedy, to give staff direction to move forward or
approve this
to
his,
do we need to get an estimate signed?
Yeah, we need something from him, but
we
the motion would be to have staff do move forward.
Would this be considered a quote since it's a non-exceed? Can you consider this?
Well, I mean, the board can give staff authorization to
say not to execute
to the proposal that was provided by BHI.
I'll make the motion to give staff, I already forgot everything he just said,
authority to execute
this proposal
with
BHI
management. I haven't slept in months. I do apologize. Cool. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, Angela, for all your work on that.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Item number 10, camera for museum. Discussion possible action.
Okay. Well, I thought because of all the stuff going around town, it might be a good idea to maybe put a camera at the museum. Just outside where we could see people coming and going in and out. I didn't realize that it'd be as expensive as putting in a few over here, but the reasoning is because we'd like to keep it all on the same system, obviously, so that we can see it. And to keep it on the same system, he's going to have to do, you know, an antenna, and there's other equipment involved other than just the camera. This would be the cheapest way for us to add a camera, unless we just add a whole new system over there, and that would be a lot more expensive. So I don't know if you guys are ready or want to, but like I said, with all the little thefts going on, yeah. Not that, you know, we do have a museum to protect, but I don't, you know, just an idea.
So
this is the camera guy we use. I could get other bids. I just feel, you know, we've used him from day one, so I just got a quick quote from him.
So he's going to interconnect the system that's already existing,
yes,
here at the community building. How about at the park? Those cameras, are they connected?
They're all connected, yes.
Okay.
We have the capability of 16 cameras.
Okay.
So our screen, we can see every single one of them.
And so you have 16 cameras placed?
No, we have not quite 16, but we have the capability.
Oh, okay.
I think we
have 10. So what he's going to add here is going to be within that 16 that can be all supported under one?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
But he can't obviously hardwire it or... because of the distance, so he has to do an antenna. That's why the cost is a little more than a typical camera.
Do we pay him like a monthly servicing fee for this? Okay.
No. Just an installation.
And on our cameras, have we, I mean, I see what's on the agenda for the next item. Have we been able to capture videos that have helped us with things like this? Like, is the video quality good enough that it can help us if we have more break-ins or if we had a break-in over there?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
From what we could tell on the computers, there's two, they're right over Canyon Creek.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pole and they're facing the park.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the, you know, people in the park and everything. So, and we have a zoom mode too.
Okay.
Yeah, the capability.
Okay.
Well, this seems reasonable. I don't know much about cameras, but I am curious. Like, is it a closed system? Like, why would it not be Wi-Fi? Like, why do we need an
antenna?
Well,
it's the distance to our main thingy. What do you call that thing?
Probably because
board.
Might be because they're hardwired.
These are Wi-Fi.
Like,
most
screen.
Of ours are Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
We do have two that are hardwired, the ones for the park. It's just too far for our Wi-Fi. So we had
to... Right, but wouldn't the... firehouse have Wi-Fi? Wouldn't you?
I don't think
of
they do
that.
No,
they
don't have
internet over there.
There's no internet over there.
Oh, gotcha.
Might be
that would be cheaper, maybe.
Actually, it might be. Huh?
That would be significantly cheaper, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems like a strange way to do it.
So
that's
you're
what,
saying if
so that makes sense. I didn't even think of that. Would be get some Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and it would benefit.
And it would
the
drop
meeting rentals there.
And if, so if we were connected to Wi-Fi over there and we ran the cameras off Wi-Fi, they would still operate in this whole system?
Yes. As far as I can, yes.
But we wouldn't need the antennas.
Then we wouldn't need the antennas.
So how much is your monthly bill for internet be, though?
Like $90.
Well, right now we don't pay for it.
At all?
No.
Uh-uh.
A previous board member, Wes, is the owner, so he has donated it for us.
Even still, $50, $90 a month would be cheaper than... $1,900,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well,
and yeah,
when I saw this, I was very surprised.
Also, it's a worthwhile investment over there too.
Only because of the art of, you know, the stuff in the museum, and you know, we have to next year replace the door over there too.
Well, I'd like to see that just even for longevity's sake, rather than putting in antennas and something that's not going to work.
Honestly, I didn't even think putting Wi-Fi over there. Good idea.
And the antenna piece of this is just a 358?
Yeah.
Correct. But then there's, you know, it'd be take away some of the labor and stuff too. So it would, like you said, I'm sure it would significantly drop the quote.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the quote or the I just think that maybe perhaps that would be a better way to
do
it.
No, that's a great idea. No, I'll look into that.
Yeah, so I don't know if
that's
we can approve you to execute this. I'm okay with the camera. I would just like to see a Wi-Fi version.
Okay, so we'll bring it back.
Okay.
Or, I mean, can we approve it and
that's
just
it,
say
yeah.
less the 358?
Well, because it might be. Because
it might. It might be totally different.
Let's ask him.
Let's so, have a, okay. a refresh quote.
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with it, but okay. I think that that would be a better way to do. Okay. All right. So then moving on to item number 11, outside bathroom lock replacement.
Yeah, unfortunately, last weekend someone vandalized our bathroom, outdoor men's bathroom. They literally busted the handle. It had to be a rock or hammer or something, but it's not replaceable. We had a locksmith come out. Meaning we have to replace the whole lock itself along with the door handle. My only concern is I wanted to present because I need approval, but I want to throw this out there. We are getting new bathrooms within a year. I don't know if we will use the same doors and locks, but if we don't get this, then that means staff has to come and lock. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of giving you everything so you know the whole thing. We can come back and lock it. We'd rather not because it is kind of a pain.
Well, and that's staff time, too. I mean, exactly. Weren't we paying like an hour a day to do that prior to those locks?
So for my staff and myself, would, you know, recommend getting a new lock. And I'm hoping in the new design that we could keep the doors and take the locks with us. But
it is what it is. I'm cool with.
It's.
Did you get them on camera?
They're inside.
They broke it. So they got themselves locked inside.
Yes, we've had maybe 4 or 5 phone calls with people locking themselves in there.
No, before it was broken.
So did this person call? Like, was this an accident or was this like a drug situation?
No. They just broke it, and then they found out that it was broken.
And you didn't see anybody leaving.
We don't know when it
was.
Gotcha.
They're propping the door open with a rock.
Okay.
So we can't, once the door's shut, obviously, tell. So we have a sign inside the door. If you get locked in, call us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so people call you?
Wait, so how do they get locked inside
the
bathroom?
They stay in. They lock at a certain time. And so
the whole mechanism is broke. So the doorknob's broken to push yourself out. You're stuck. There was at least four calls.
Is that how it's designed?
No.
Okay, so we're fixing all of it.
Broken. Yes.
Okay, let's fix it.
We
let's
have
pay
to
for
fix
it.
The whole
let's
thing.
Fix it.
Exactly.
That would be my worst
just
nightmare.
Replace the doorknob. Yeah. He did try. He came out.
No. Let's get this done.
Is it very honest?
Fire hazard. I thought you'd have to have an
that's
escape.
That's a lot of danger there.
Yeah, you can't lock the doors. It
doesn't normally. If it's locked from outside and you're stuck inside, you can normally get out.
That's all we need.
But they destroyed it from the inside. They destroyed the handle. Pulled it off, was on the floor, and then got the mechanism inside the lock, tweaked with the wires. And so that's just our, you know, our tweakers probably went in there, went over to Mike's place, and, you know.
That's falling under risk management.
It is.
That's a lawsuit that's going to happen because your board already has the knowledge that it does malfunction or it does lock, and you're holding someone against their will. That's a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's why we're fixing it. Do we have a motion?
But are you going to fix it with the same kind of lock?
Well,
but
the lock
should get out under normal circumstances.
That's why we have to fix it.
Okay, how many times has it not been normal?
It's the first time.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a regular occurrence.
Also, they were locked in.
No, this is not a regular.
The handle was broken.
This is due to vandalism.
The handle was broken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just fix the whole thing.
They literally ripped it apart. No. There's no handle that you can turn.
I'll second.
Okay, so I motion to approve and proceed.
I'll second.
Awesome.
All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 12, director's comment. Ms. Christie, director's comment.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. I know that everybody's still here. That was a good turnout. I do hope that we get to discuss that next month, right? It'll be
on the agenda.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the heck it is we can do, but I hope
yeah.
Can we give
Captain Wright, a chance?
I'm sorry, I came late up.
Captain Wright, do you have anything?
I really don't. I just was here to, in case, you know, if anybody has any questions for us.
They're all out on the front porch. I walked right by them all.
I already saw them all.
Okay, then
you're good.
That's it?
Do you have the source of how the fire started down in Phelan? Was that all homeless? I don't know. That big one, the 78 acres? Yeah, I was off. I was on the golf course drinking a beer and went, I don't know on that one, though. Wasn't on that call. So, yeah. But
you said there was one in Wrightwood recently?
Yeah, the recent Wrightwood one. Was that?
The house fire.
It was a garage.
Yeah, I wasn't on that one either. That was the other day. I was having another beer. That was a different day, though. Different beer. We've been busy, though, for sure. I don't know what's going on. Every day, two a day in Riverside.
Riverside.
Every day, two a day. We've been doing a lot of help down there, our department-wise, you know. And then, of course, Phelan and everything. And it's just, you know. So, come on September. Although that, it really doesn't matter. Actually, come on February, because October, November, December is traditionally our biggest fire season, and biggest fires, because of the Santa Ana winds.
Memories are popping up on my face.
All the fires. There's plenty of stuff to burn, so we'll see.
Sweet. Looking forward to it.
I'm here to be a light of hope.
Love it. Awesome.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Natalie, director.
We appreciate it. We're done.
Okay.
Well, not just to thank Angela for getting that information on the vision plan thing. That's going to be cool. So appreciate that.
Yeah. I was saying, I think I heard you say, Christy, that you'd want to see the police stuff on the agenda next month. Yeah, I agree with that. I think maybe we open that conversation. I know it's not we don't have that function, but we should maybe open the conversation with the community so that they have the chance to come and be proactive about it.
Police / security or
law enforcement.
Yeah, I'll work with you on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, you know, to kind of have that discussion for some options. Public safety. Yeah, public safety discussion. So, and it might, one of the community members said, it might bring more people in here with ideas and want to get involved in that. So I think it's a helpful thing. And, yes, thank you to staff for all the work you've done. It's really great. And thank you to the board for the continued hard work. And thank you to our legal counsel, Mr. Kennedy. And I'm looking forward to the next meeting. Great. Thank you, Angela and Natalie, for moving forward with the vision plan, strategic plan. I'm super excited about that. So that's it. Thank you, staff and board. And it was great to see a room full of people again tonight. Unfortunately, that usually means there's a hot topic, but people don't just come to hang out with us. All right. Item 13, future board meeting, Thursday, September 12th at 6:30 p.m. And this meeting will adjourn at 7:01.